Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We made major investments in new rapid point-of-care tests. So we have, there's nothing like the rapid point where you get your answer in 5 minutes to 15 minutes to maybe 20, 25 minutes at the max. And we're already at about a 50% level.
All right, rapid test, vaccine testing. Are you feeling optimistic, America, and those of you listening around the world? I am. I'm feeling pretty optimistic, but give it a couple of days. I think we're all on this roller coaster ride. There's no question about it. One day you're up, and one day you're a little bit down. Kate Delaney, as always, happy to be the skipper of this choppy time that we live in with this boat that we're navigating through these narrow canals. So I feel like we're rocking one way and then we're rocking the other way. As far as deaths in the U.S., 151,000 people have died from COVID-19. That's out of 4.43 million cases. 2.15 million have recovered worldwide. 659,000 people have died. 9.7 million have recovered. There's been over 16 million confirmed cases. So rapid COVID-19 tests, what does that mean? It's what the president said. You heard at the top that you'd get the results pretty quickly. The more that they can scale that, and they're scaling it up as fast as they can make that work, I think, and it's accurate, because again, it's about the accuracy of it too, the better. Because the sooner you know, the better off you are. The Department of Health and Human Services recently announced last week to supply rapid point-of-care testing instruments and tests to nursing homes, because still, this is an area, just like prisons, that are hard hit by coronavirus. So the first allocation of the 2,000 testing instruments that is shipping this week is headed to nursing homes that have been prioritized by the Department of Health and Human Services, where they look at where are the areas where we need to go first. And that's it. The first round goes to the nursing homes, and they get it. They get the test. I think that's smart, because that's where we're having still lots and lots of flare-ups, outbreaks, etc. Boy, it was a crazy, crazy beginning to the week. I mean, I guess I could say that almost any week, right? Because we still are 6 months into this thing, and the question mark is starting to get on people's nerves. People are going stir crazy, and others are ready to party, hit the road, do something different, so much so that the CEO of Goldman Sachs had a big fundraiser. He played DJ, and lots of people did not social distance. So for as much as they say, we're really stopping this thing in New York, that was an example of some bad behavior. It's not just Floridians, because they seem to get so much of the blame, where they're partying at some beach somewhere, or too close, having that nightlife going on in Miami. Certainly Florida is bubbling over with cases, and sadly with deaths, but we're seeing that a lot of people are tired and weary of the circumstances we all find ourselves in. That's why that vaccine is so huge, because I believe if they get it right, and I say they, the scientists, that it is our best bet. The question does become, will you take the vaccine? Because there are some who say, I'm not taking the vaccine. What's in the vaccine? And lots of questions about that. And is it too fast to market if it does get to us quickly? And how quickly is that going to be? Is it going to be by the end of the year, or is it really in the beginning of next year? There's some optimism that it could happen before the end of the year. But again, that changes day to day. That's that roller coaster. You're on and you're sailing along. You're feeling pretty good about it. We're almost at the end of the ride. And then suddenly you get a free pass, one that you don't want. I mean, even in the UK, now the PM there, Boris Johnson, is warning of a second COVID-19 wave. We've had guests on from the UK in our author's corner who have talked about, social distancing, what's that? All the blokes are in the pubs and don't seem to be worried about it. So he came pretty close to losing his own life to COVID-19, and he said they're starting to see signs of that second wave. He was on the BBC and he talked about that you got to make the necessary preparations for it and not put ourselves in that situation. And he talked about the new cases and where they were bubbling up. Spain is in Europe, the one place that people are not allowing people to come in from Spain without quarantining for 14 days. In fact, the National Health Minister reported over 6,300 new cases, a 4,000-plus case surge since the end of last week. So we're starting to see that while some European countries lifted internal border restrictions in June, international tourists were also allowed to visit from certain countries starting on July 1st. They're now talking about, we might have to go back in that other direction again because of what they're starting to see as well. In the meantime, we've got this election. The election that's happening in less than 100 days. Will the president stay in office for a second term, or does Joe Biden, the presumptive nominee for the Democrats, become the next president of the United States? We've got the economy that is teetering, and the possibility, of course, and I'm sure this will happen, it's a question of what's in it, of the stimulus, the second stimulus, and then the concerns of people who are not being able to make ends meet. Their jobs went away, and it's pretty tough, even though there are opportunities to find another job in the middle of the pandemic. It depends on the career route, age, and so many other factors, I think, that go into that. So now you've got Joe Biden, who feels like he's got a little bit of an edge because of the economy. So we're doing an unofficial poll. We got a couple of them going. And it is flat out, will the president win a second term? Do you see, despite what some of the polls are saying, the president staying in office and continuing to reside at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Joe Biden is the curiosity as far as the running mate. There's more talk about his running mate than I've ever seen, I think, in recent times. I mean, they're always talked about, but usually the running mate, the VP, is, well, let's say the add-on, somebody that can help you a little bit in some of the states where you may be weaker. In this case, I think the Democrats are looking for a legacy pick, thinking if you get a woman, and particularly if you get, it looks like they're leaning toward an African-American woman, or somebody else, doesn't have to be, but the legacy, let alone of a woman, but imagine if you take it even a step further. So there's conversations about, would it be Senator Kamala Harris? Would it be Stacey Abrams? Would it be a slew of others who could end up filling that slot? The thought being that maybe even Biden does just one term if he wins, and then the push is on for the first female president. Lots and lots of questions. Numbers are revealing. We're talking about them on the flip side.
Attention listeners interested in food supplies. If you've ever wanted to create an endless, crash-proof stockpile of survival food and do it with very little money, pay close attention. This could be a game changer. Because the cost-effective do-it-yourself secrets survival food companies won't tell you about are available. Learn all about them at foodshortageusa.com. Check this out. The economic disruption that's occurred in the last 6 months is going to have consequences. big ones, especially when it comes to food. The availability of food, as well as the inevitable rising prices, which always get passed on to the consumer. The fact is, hyperinflation has huge implications for food and food prices. Smart listeners, you should begin bracing for impact. The good news? There's still time to learn how to get all your garden vegetables into your pantry, stored away, just in case. Learn how at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Numbers here at the top in America are converting school buses into tiny homes during the pandemic. Yeah, I've heard of scaling down, but this is one way to do it. So they're renting, you know, people who are renting houses and were paying whatever they were paying for mortgages have gutted school buses and have converted them, some people, into these homes. I don't know, what would it be like to live in a school bus? School buses, for me, conjure up all kinds of interesting images. You know, how many people are doing that? Well, how many are for sale? Northwest Bus Sales in Company in Washington State says a growing number of people have purchased used school buses and are it's really keeping the lights on during the coronavirus crisis, which that part's good. I mean, look, if buses are making it because people are buying them and they got them and you can rent them or you can own them, boy, amen to that. And they really do. They have all kinds of yellow school buses, passenger motor coach buses, those kinds of things. And people are getting them. They're either buying them or they're leasing them, you know, that kind of thing. And they've had a little bit of a run on it. So hundreds of phone calls. I'd say that's pretty good. They're easy to find. And with that location, They're saying they can drive the bus to you, ship it on a truck or on a barge. Can you imagine that? You're right there. You're sitting by the river's edge. Oh, look, there comes the, that's our bus. It's on that barge. There it is. That's it. Came in from not too far from SeaTac International Airport or the fact that they drive it. I would think driving it with the inventory, I would think driving it might be a little bit better. Now, how much do these babies run you? Are you just kind of curious about that? Yeah, you're curious. I'm going to tell you. If you get, I priced these out today with somebody. Just for you, I priced them out. So they have these, they have a prison bus, for example. That's what it's called, a prison bus. That's for sale. And how many people, you know, did it fit? So inmates and three solid, that would be in solitary confinement, sort of two prison guards, $70,000. $70,000. That's kind of the way they describe the capacity. I might stay away from the prison bus. This seems like maybe bad luck to me. I don't know. What if you had some kind of business where you needed sort of a shuttle bus? So I'll give you an example of a shuttle bus. I was talking to them today, and they have a shuttle bus where you've got 28 passengers, enough for 28 passengers. I don't know if that allows for social distancing. And they've got something called the El Dorado Advantage Shuttle Bus. $68,995. So you're kind of looking in that neighborhood for those kinds of buses. If you're looking for a big luxury bus, the kind that rock stars travel in, that sort of thing, I mean, you'd have to make it that way yourself. But the actual bus, the that carry up to maybe 56 passengers. They've got a Highway Coach 2018 for sale for $410,000. Wouldn't it be fun to take the show on the road? We'd have to have protocols in place, though, right, for social distancing. All right. Speaking of numbers, 2020 Emmy nominations are out, and a show called The Watchmen scored 26 nods, as they say. The show I watch called Ozark got 18, and so very, very popular. And then you could kind of break it down, and I'm not going to eat up this whole segment to tell you everybody who's been nominated. But let's say for comedies, you have Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dead to Me. I think that's funny. You have, it's called Schitt's Creek. We have to be careful how you say that. Very popular, popular show. What We Do in the Shadows, that's pretty good. Kind of a dark comedy, I'll put it that way. Lead actor in a drama series. It's no secret, Jason Bateman, I have a crush on him from Ozark. He's a good actor, he's funny, and he's dramatic, and he's everything in between. So he's nominated. And then you have Sterling Brown. Kay Brown, that is nominated for This Is Us. That's a popular show. Steve Carell, I think, is hilarious, and he's on a show called The Morning Show, and I think he's excellent in that. And then there's a slew of others. One of the surprises was Jennifer Aniston, America's Sweetheart, who was part of the whole Friends crew, and that was comedy. She got a nod for The Morning Show, and that's on the drama side of things. And then I'll just give you a couple of others. How about this? Comedy, because I like the comedy, right? We want to laugh for sure. You've got Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live. You have Betty Gilpin from Glow. That's kind of funny. Glow is a funny one, I think. And then you've got Alex Borstein, who is from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That's a very funny, funny show. And it's the usual suspects for talk shows, where you have Jimmy Kimmel or John Oliver or Stephen Colbert or Samantha Bee or Trevor Noah. All of those are nominated as well. It's interesting what the Emmys have turned into, because there's so much that has changed, like competition programs. So you have The Masked Singer, or you have Top Chef, or you have The Voice, and they're all nominated, by the way. And Watchmen, like I said, mega, mega announcements for them, and the ones that I told you about on the list. The Watchmen's pretty good, actually. I like that. I like that series. All right, we move from that to something completely different. Like I said, I see numbers. I see numbers. I see numbers everywhere, and there are numbers. And the numbers include this. the, you know, when I look at, I break down what we're talking about on the show, I look at numbers like tropical storm warnings. Tropical storm warnings are all over the place. So tropical storm Isaias is likely to form in the Atlantic. There's warnings that have been issued for Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands. My goodness, the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season is coming in with a swirl, if you will. And we're seeing now with the National Hurricane Center, they said it was going to be that kind of a year. And we'll see what happens in the next 2 days. But you've got those warnings, the 90% chance of developing in the next 2 days. So tropical storm warnings in Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, they're part of that whole system. And they're talking about potential tropical cyclone 9. So you know what that means? That means tropical storm conditions are likely there within the next 36 hours. So you track that and then you see where that storm goes and how it develops. It could affect Florida later in the week or over the weekend, depending how intense it is. And, you know, we've already seen what can happen. And, if you look at Isaias is actually how you pronounce it. It's the ninth storm of the season. Ninth storm. Wow. It may be a record-breaking kind of year. I just hope they're tropical storms. They dissipate. They don't become these horrific hurricanes. Because we've seen in the past what can happen with hurricanes. And depending on the sustained winds, the kind of damage that you can, you know, that you can get from it. All right, Wednesday hump day means maybe you have a hankering for wings. I'm just saying, only because I saw that there's always a day for something, right? National Chicken Wing Day. So Buffalo Wild Wings, Hooters, of course, Applebee's, they've got deals that offer some sort of free wings attached to them. You know, there was a poll that was done a couple of years ago from Moore's Marinades and Sauces, and they found that Americans eat almost 16 wings per sitting. Did you hear what I just said? 16. I don't think I could eat 16 wings. Can you eat 16 wings? How big are they? I mean, if they have serious meat on them? But anyway, that's what they found is typical, meaning man or woman. So they didn't even differentiate between either. And then I think it's a question of what do they like on their wings? All wings are not created equal. If you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you get 6 free wings with the purchase of any size order of wings. That's not a bad deal, right? Because maybe you get the small order. If you go to Famous Dave's, you get 2 orders of fries and 2 chocolate chip cookies for $20 along with the 2 orders of wings. I don't know, does that equal out? I think it's pretty interesting that it's National Wing Day. All right, hang with us. Coming up, we're doing all kinds of fun things, including tripping back to Australia to talk to one of my favorite authors.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Almost half of the states in the U.S. are part of the government's so-called red zone due to rising coronavirus cases. Dr. Deborah Birx said that the hotspots threatened regions where cases are controlled.
What we're seeing across the South right now is both rural infections as well as small metros and major metros simultaneously.
USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more.
President Trump is touting the amount of personal protective equipment distributed around the United States during the coronavirus pandemic.
When the China virus struck our nation, we mobilized the entire government and the private sector to acquire, source, and deliver life-saving supplies.
The president, speaking during the coronavirus task force briefing at the White House, also says more help is on the way to nursing homes.
This is USA Radio News. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan says she has been assured that federal agents sent to stop protests in the city have left the area. On Capitol Hill, Attorney General William Barr defended the deployments there and in Portland.
We're trying to protect federal functions and federal buildings, which are a very small part of the city, but the rioters go at them, and we have gradually increased our numbers there to try to protect those facilities.
House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler accused Barr of playing politics.
The president wants footage for his campaign ads, and you appear to be serving it up to him as ordered.
The White House is going after the DACA program again. Last month, the Supreme Court ruled that the administration acted in an arbitrary and capricious way to scrap DACA. The White House is aiming to build a case that deferred action for childhood arrivals has served as a magnet for illegal border crossings. Going forward, DACA renewals will be for only 1 year, not two. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
I am so excited to welcome to Author's Corner this time around Matt Reynolds. He's written a book called A World on the Island's Edge. First of all, I love the title, because before I even cracked open the book, I started to think about what would a world look like on the island's edge. And this book features so many interesting characters, I'm going to say ideas, and I'm just wondering where he got some of those. So my first question is, Matt, first of all, welcome to the show, and tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, thank you for having me today. First off, I really appreciate it. Really, really touched that you reached out to me. Where did I get the idea? Let's see. It began floating around my head for, you know, it had been for a long time. So I just finally sat down, started writing, and did it. I'm glad I did, obviously. It's been something in my head for, you know, so many years. I finished my master's program and started my own business, and then I decided that now was the right time to really sit down and start developing the book, see if I could do it. So here we are.
So tell us about the story. If you and I are sitting next to each other on a plane and you say, well, I've written a book, what would you tell me? Describe the book to me.
First of all, it's about, you know, a 12-year-old girl named Andy. She meets a golden dolphin. They immediately have a psychic connection, talking to each other, you know, sharing their thoughts. And the dolphin can't do that with anyone else. So immediately, it's just Andy. It's this powerful bond between them. Andy has a lot of worries. She's worried about how she's going to take care of him. His name is Lux because Lux means, you know, light, in Latin. And so how is she going to protect him? That's a big component of the book. Protected from being discovered by the world. But there's a second concurrent component happening here. You know, Andy and her twin brother, Artie, live with their grandmother. Their grandmother is suffering from dementia. Andy's been able to hide that fact for a while, but increasingly it's starting to not be viable to hide it as much. So there's two things going on. At the same time, she's trying to protect her family. She wants to protect her dolphin. And, you know, Andy is one of the most caring people, very empathetic. And so how she really faces these two different adversities and sort of the way they intersect, the way they're brought together, I think is really, you know, fascinating in the book.
I think it's fascinating, too. And, I mean, it's, you know, kind of urban fantasy with lessons in between and dementia. Wow, so many people, sadly, are struggling with that. And younger kids see that and have to figure out a way to navigate and communicate. So there's definitely a strong communication component here. Was that part of the idea?
Yeah, for sure. Some of my deaf friends, you know, might be like, you know, why aren't you writing about deafness precisely? But, you know, in my mind, I sort of am. Everyone comes from a place of feeling alone, feeling like no one understands them, especially in the deaf community. No one feels like a lot of times people feel like they don't know how to do it. That's true for me, and it's true for many of my friends and family also. So it's that component really played into it for sure.
And of course, the beauty of the golden dolphin. Wow, what a nice touch that is. Is that because you like the ocean? You have a thing about dolphins? Your mind just went to that place. How did you come up with that character?
Well, you know, first, I fish, I swim, I swam the Golden Gate Bridge once a long time ago. It was when I was younger, really defining moment of my life. But, so I'm very fascinated with all of that. And I love the San Juan Islands, off the coast of Washington, Washington State. That's where the story takes place, on one of the islands in the San Juans, the archipelago. And so it was just really good to combine all of that. Lux himself does take Andy for a long swim. You know, there's lots of adventures they have together. And the result is, well, you know, I'm not going to tell you. You have to find out. But, yeah, that interest definitely plays into it for sure.
Oh, very clever. We're speaking with Matt Reynolds, and he's written a book called A World on the Island's Edge, and I am fascinated by Lux the Golden Dolphin and Andy the 12-year-old. And now I'm fascinated by the fact that we also have learned that you just cavalierly said it, that you swam the Golden Gate Bridge. Are you kidding with what's underneath there? Sharks, whales, all kinds of creatures. What did you mean by that? Did you really do that? That's incredible.
We had to train for a long time to be able to do that. It wasn't like I just hopped in and decided to swim the bridge, you know. But, yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations. I mean, that's a rare feat, or certainly for people that live outside of the West Coast and San Francisco in the Bay Area, we are in awe of that. Tell me what you hope that people take away from reading the book.
You know, everyone has something to contribute, I think, is the takeaway. You know, Andy feels very alone. Her twin brother is on the autism spectrum, and in many ways he's, you know, a complete genius. And in other ways there are certain challenges he faces. Her grandmother has dementia, and you know, she also has to protect this amazing supernatural dolphin. So she herself feels very alone in the same sense that Lux feels very alone as the only one of his kind. He doesn't know who he is. So, you know, the grandmother with dementia, alone, the twin brother on the autism spectrum, alone in many ways. But the way that they're all able to, you know, sort of bring something to the story, to the narrative, to really bring it to its conclusion and come together to create a beautiful solution is, you know, they all have something to contribute. So how do you see a person, your first impression of a person, that doesn't matter. It's really what's inside, what they're capable of coming up with, and what they're capable of bringing to the table that'll really surprise you. Yeah.
Well, wow, what a beautiful sentiment, and what a great thing to take away from the story. Was it fun to do this? And I think you have more stories to tell. Are we going to see some more books?
Yes. The second book is just about finished. Maybe, you know, one or two more tweaks left in the process. The name of the second book is Map of a Soundless Clock. So I'm not going to spoil it for everybody.
Bugger.
Blind. Sorry about it. Sorry.
Yeah, you're not going to tell us any details. And again, you can pick up this book on Amazon, because I know you know that's where you get them. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, of course, A World on the Island's Edge. And we're speaking with Matt Reynolds. And it's so fascinating to listen to how he came up with this and put it all together. And were you pleased and excited once this was published? I mean, what was that feeling like for you? Because lots of people talk about doing books, and guess what? They never tell their story. They never write their novel. You did it.
Thank you. Yes. Certainly, we self-published it through Lulu, and it got several reviews, all of which were positive, and word of mouth has been pretty good. It's been really special for me to for my wife, for my family, it's been really special for us to get that out there. We're looking for a publisher. We still are an agent now, hopefully, especially now that there's a second book in the works, in the pipeline. I have to say, you know, I'm also very grateful to my artist, Talia Dugan. You know, her drawings are really beautiful, a really great picture in the book. I think they've really tied together. So I think getting that out there, that was really important to me, and definitely a strong sense of accomplishment there. Yeah.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it. And once again, we tell everyone, pick up the book. It's a tremendous book, and there's so many actual life lessons in this, and I think almost anyone of any age could read it.
Thank you. Thank you, for sure. Thank you. I think so, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Being a writer, I'm looking for somebody who brings everything to the table. You know, who brings heart, who brings their vision, and particularly who bring their brain to the table, so that they're aware of what they're doing and they're making conscious choices.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Survival food alert and a quick heads up. In an emergency situation, there may be a time you need to have an easy to transport, easy to conceal, almost perfect food to survive. You'd want a food that is so nutritionally dense that a couple of tablespoons per day is all you need to live on. And by that, I mean truly living well, staying smart, even strong for extended periods of time. So if you're looking for a standalone, super dense, superfood, or you'd just like to protein up your own food supplies, check this out. This superfood has 58 times the bioavailable iron of spinach, chock full of B vitamins, twice the chlorophyll of wheatgrass, 25 times the antioxidant power of carrots, and the phenolic phytonutrient compounds? Well, 31 times more than blueberries, a whopping 700 times more than apples. Go to BlueGreenBooster.com, BlueGreenBooster.com. Get maximum nutrition with minimum weight and bulk. BlueGreenBooster.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The timing of this book couldn't be better. When you think of the headlines that have been made really over the last decade with the Catholic Church and what's happened with this pope and what's happened with previous popes, there's always so much intrigue, even among people who aren't Catholic. In our virtual green room, Robert Zammit is there, and he joins us now. His novel is called Bless Me, Father. Robert, thanks so much for popping on.
Well, I'm honored to be on here with your show.
Bless Me, Father. So right away, I think of, I remember it. I'm an Irish Catholic girl. I remember going to confession, and that was the thing. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. And I was so nervous that this is terrible, but I think I said maybe four times in a row that I broke my mother's plate. I only broke it once, and the Monsignor recognized my voice, and he said, Catherine Shannon Delaney, you did not break that plate again. So I love the title of the book because of, you know, my mind thinks of all these different things, and people listening, I think, will be intrigued by that, even if they're not Catholic. So first of all, tell us about the book.
Well, yeah, it's a book that describes the life of a young Italian migrant to Australia. So it's got some history of what's happened in Australia in the past, including, you know, things like the Wanda Beach murders, which were probably Australia's first big murder that occurred here in this country of two young girls, but it's, the book's not based about that. It just has that, a lot of the history that goes on. The Vietnam War, we became part of that, aiding America's effort in that. So we were in that as well. And then it follows, it traces this life as this child grows up to be a man and wants to be a priest and all the trials and tribulations that he goes through. And then finally, of course, there's an incredible thing that happens that he's involved with, which is a murder itself, which I don't want to give it away. And but, yeah, it's all that's how it sort of started for me, the murder of the book. But the big thing, of course, was I did want to be a priest myself. And I left the idea of that because of things that happened to me and my friend who passed away afterwards when we didn't go ahead. And a lot of that started the book. It was very cathartic. I had a lot of trouble sometimes. I couldn't see the page. I write pen to paper rather than on a word processor and then put it into the word processor on my first edit. And sometimes I just had to put my pen down and just stop. Couldn't see. It was so difficult to get some of those things out. But and there was also a part in the book where the publisher said, oh, no, we can't have this. We won't have people under 18 or under 16 having sex. Right? So if you just change and just say so-and-so interfered with such-and-such, you'll be okay. And I thought about it, and I wrote back to the editor and said, look, I can't do that to the publisher. So I can't do that. I owe it to the reader to tell them what happened, to show them what happened, not just tell them, show them what happened. And I owe it to the victims. This is not people or kids having sex. These kids were victims, and that's what I wanted to bring out. That was part of it. So I do, it is a bit graphic in that way, Kate, as you know, but I didn't want to shy away from the truth.
And bravo to you for that, because that's what makes it real and that's what makes a good writer. So when people read your novel, they're going to laugh, they're going to cry, they're going to feel something, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of people say, wow, it reminded me so much of my past. Like you said, even the title reminds you of your childhood. A lot of people have said that to me, and they could relate to that because of things that happened to them one way or another. And these, I get emails from people, I've got to say, all over the world, saying to me, wow, I loved your book. Why didn't you, publish it with a bigger publisher and get more, advertising and things? But it's just the way life happened to me with that. It just fleshed out that way, and that's it. And I've enjoyed the process more than anything else. I did it to tell the story. I didn't do it for money or anything like that. I just wanted to tell that story. That was important to me.
Yeah. The book is called Bless Me, Father. Robert Zammit has written it. He is the writer that we're speaking with for this novel, and the novel really goes deep on some interesting things, and we don't want to give away the whole story, but Robert's really set it up for us nicely. What do you hope people ultimately take away from reading this novel?
I guess that bad things do happen, and it's not God that causes these things. It's humans. It's us as men that make mistakes, and people make mistakes, and people hurt other people, not God. Yeah. For example, there's enough food on this planet to feed everybody. No one should ever starve. But it's people that stop it going sometimes where it's needed. And it's the same with this novel. Yeah. We say, oh, how can God allow, I hear it all the time, how can God allow pedophilia to occur? God doesn't allow it. He gives us the freedom of choice, and it's humans that mess it all up and do the wrong thing.
Yeah. Do you think that, and of course we know the pedophilia, how awful it was in the Catholic Church, and that's, as you said, what happened to you, your friend, and how cathartic the book was, but how you had to, the tears would flow and you couldn't even see. We see that there's been lots of healing, which is a good thing. And do you think even the novel could heal some people who have been through some, tough times with the Catholic Church and some wrongs?
It truly already has. With so many people have written to me and said, wow, I'm so glad you wrote this story. It's really helped me because it's made me admit what's happened. And for a long time, I didn't even admit it. I wouldn't talk about it. People would ask me, no, nothing had happened to me. No, don't know. But don't talk about it. I just left the church. And I left the church totally. I turned my back on everything about the church and God for a while. And because I just couldn't understand anything. I was very young when all this happened to me, and I was so confused. And I could have gone down that route of, just things being bad for my life. And somehow I just was able to pick it up and become a veterinarian and have a good life now. And I do believe in God, I do believe in Jesus, but some of the things that occur are human push, and I think that's the problem. It's too much power sometimes where it shouldn't be.
So I'm thinking you may also, too, Robert, be one of the most popular people at a social distancing barbecue, because you're incredibly interesting. First you were going to be a priest, then you do become a successful veterinarian, and now you have this gift of writing, which so many people talk about writing a novel, and they never do. They never get to it. So for you, again, bravo for pulling that together. Did that feel good when you finished the book and it was done?
It felt fantastic. It was a great feeling. And I have a couple of clients that have come in and said, there's only one thing bad about your book. I said, oh, gosh, what was that? And I said, it finished. It ended. They wanted to continue. So it makes me feel good that people, even other people saying, are you going to write a sequel to it? I don't know if it has a sequel or not. It might have with Susan and with Anthony and that, but there could be a sequel. I don't know. I've often thought about that. I certainly want to write again. I love, it's like Stephen King says, if you breathe, you've got to read. And if you read, you've got to put pen to paper. English was not my first language, Kate, so I've been very frightened of writing anything publicly. I love reading and I love writing. But English, in fact, was my third language. And when I came to Australia, I couldn't speak English, a word of it. Spelling was just a mystery to me, still is sometimes. Eventually you can do it. It's how do you do it? One word at a time, one paragraph at a time, one page at a time. And you eventually get there. And it's a great feeling, isn't it?
I love it. I love that you did that. So this is interesting. Don't worry about the spelling, because that really connects you to anybody who's in the younger generation who's a Z for sure, or anybody who's a Gen Xer because of computers. So now it's all about Grammarly or something else. So spelling isn't big for most people these days, depending on their age. But third, what were your first two languages?
Italian was my first language, and then I spoke French. My French is just horrible now. I still speak Italian fluently. Apparently, when I go over there, I speak with an Italian accent. They just feel I'm a countryman there. I was actually, my mother was Italian, my father was half Italian, half Maltese, and I was born in Egypt, so I'm a bit crossbred, really. Really mixed up.
And then, of course, you mix in the Australian, and that becomes very, very, very interesting. Well, I think the book is tremendous, and this book has legs. There's no doubt about that. It's called Bless Me, Father. Robert Zammit, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Kate Delaney, I'm very honored. I love America. I've actually even been over there and at a function. I was asked, could I sing the Star Spangled Banner? And I said, of course I will. And I did get up and do it. So I do love your country.
Thank you.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people, and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com. or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.